You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show, which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today is Nancy Natalicio. Nancy is no stranger to KTEP or UTEP, as she's been on some of our other programs, and she also has taught several times here in the OLLI program. And she teaches writing memoirs, and so we're going to talk a little bit about writing, because we were talking on the phone, not texting, and discussing communication and the fact that, you know, it seems like we're finding it harder to communicate face-to-face, and also writing, people are forgetting that. So, Nancy, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
First of all, writing memoirs. A lot of people think, well, you know, that is something for famous people or people who have done something. Well, everybody's done something. But the key that I wanted to – first of all, I wanted to touch base with you on diaries and journals, because some of the history that we learn from President Lincoln, John and Abigail Adams, they used to write letters to each other constantly. And so people used to write a lot, and that's how we get that information. People don't do that anymore.
Like no, we're not to. Much of a writing nation anymore, not much of a writing population. And it's interesting. The first thing you said, Louis, was that people don't write. And so how do they go about, or why should they go about writing an autobiography? And autobiographies we think of as being for famous people. I remember taking a class here many years ago from Becky Craver in the oral history department, because I wanted to tape my parents and get some of their stories down before it was too late. And so I did that, and that got me interested in memoirs in general. And I typed those up, made tapes of them, sent them to all the family members, and then decided that when I was asked to teach writing memoir at OLLI, that I would do that and see what that was like. It was funny. I took a class first at OLLI from a lady who came down for one day, and it was about writing your life story. And she went around the room. There were about six of us in the classroom. And she said, tell me about your life and why you want to write your memoir. And she asked me first. I was on the end of the row. And so I told her a few things. And she looked at me like, oh, why would you want to write about that? That's not very interesting. So I left feeling sort of, I am unworthy. I should not be doing this.
Let the air out of your balloon.
It did. And I thought, so for a long time, I just forgot about it, lay it aside. And then Lee Nelson contacted me and she said, Nancy, would you come teach a class on this? And I said, I haven't written my memoir. I don't know that I should be the one doing this. But I agreed to do it. And it has been the richest experience for me. I've had people from all over the world who have come in to write their memoir. I have people from all over the United States, people from who are natives of El Paso, and it's been very enriching. And I guess some of these people are diarists. Some have kept diaries. Some have not ever. But their children are saying, Mom, please write down these stories that you tell us at dinner time. We want to preserve those. We want to pass those on to our children. And people will say, well, yes, I will, honey, I will. And then they don't. They put it off, and they put it off, and then they regret it later, because the older we get, the more the memories tend to slip for some of us. So it has been quite an experience.
And I know that some high school classes, they'll make them do journaling, but just for that semester or that year, they don't do it every day. Did you ever keep a diary?
I certainly did. All through high school I did. In fact, I went back and looked. I kept it on note cards and put them in a file box. And I went back and looked at those, the ones that I had kept, and they were so boring. I guess not very much happened to me. And I heard a comedian on television reading from her diary, her junior high diary, as her routine, her comic routine. And it was wonderful, because she sounded just like a junior high student. And it got lots of laughs. I think mine would have put them to sleep. It wasn't very interesting.
Tell me, do you think that perhaps one of the problems may be we tend to be afraid to write in our diaries what we're really feeling? We maybe write what other people, we think other people may want to read.
Well, especially if you're afraid somebody's going to find your diary and read it, then you want to be saying things that are socially acceptable. I think that's a very good point, Louis, a really good point. I think one of the things that's happened in class is I have some people who've been keeping journals, writing their memoirs for 15, 20 years, and they continue to do it, keeping their present memories. And when we're sitting in a circle and we're looking at the person reading and they're being open, they're experienced enough writers that they've learned to be open in what they put down and tell their feelings and express their failures and talk about what they learned from their failures. Then other people in the class hear that and then get courage from that. And I've noticed that those who've been with me from the beginning, 4 or 5 years ago when I started doing this, those who've been there all this time have just gotten better and better and better at what they're doing, what they're putting down on paper. And it's really wonderful to listen to.
Do you think also because of where we've gone, social media, we don't write as much, the fact that, you know, we don't even have penmanship, we don't teach that in school, that perhaps that's one of the reasons that we don't write as much anymore? I mean, some people do write on the computer, but they don't call them journals or diaries. They call them blogs, and that's like their day to write. Everybody pitches in.
Well, if you have a blog, you can print that out and keep it, and it functions as a diary or a journal if what you're writing is that kind of information. A memoir is a little different. We think of autobiographies as being for famous people, but a memoir is really a journey. It's looking at where you started and where you are now and how you got from the place you began to where you are now. What happened along the way? Who were the people who mentored you? Who were the people who challenged you? Who were the people who nourished you and your family? What were the jobs that you had? What did you learn? What did you learn from those things that happened to you along the way? And the more you put these things down, the more they stimulate other memories. I'll tell you a little story. Last week, I stepped on a piece of glass, went in, had it removed, came home, and was thinking about it. And all of a sudden, a memory that I have not had for 50 years came back. Of being in the sixth grade, we had art tables that were wooden and they were old and they had lots of splinters in them. And I got a splinter in my thumb and I went home. And my mother said, well, we'll just wrap this in raw bacon and put a bandage around it. And you can wear this to school tomorrow and that should draw the splinter out. I cannot tell you whether it worked. I can tell you how I felt with a piece of raw bacon on my finger when I went to school. It was embarrassing because other kids would ask. But thinking about this, before I had the glass removed, I thought about that incident. So I got a piece of bacon, lopped it off, put it on the bottom of my foot, taped it up to see if it would help. And the next morning I took it off, and when I went to the doctor, he said, well, I don't know whether the bacon did any good, but if you had walked on it any longer, we wouldn't have been able to get it out. So I don't know. You know, I really don't know. And I don't know what the source of that is or where my mom got that.
But that's interesting that you remembered that.
Yes, yeah, it just came back. Yeah. But, you know, I've sat watching my students write. We do short writes in class, 10-minute writes, and then we read them. And then we read an assignment that we've done over the week from the week before. And those are longer, more meaningful pieces. And I'm watching them and I'm thinking to myself, if I said desk, I bet you could write a piece about a desk. Something about a desk in a classroom, about the teacher, the person who sat in front of you, the person behind you. If I said window, you would have a memory of looking out a window. There are so many things that trigger memories that we're just not aware of until we begin the process. And in the process, those memories just begin to flow.
Getting back to your memoirs, when you talked about your experience, what about your students? When they did ask you to teach the class and you went in there and you asked them, what were some of the answers that you got? And I'm sure you learned from your experience that as far as why would you want to write about that?
I didn't ask them. I told them my experience the first time I taught. And I said, you are all worthy of writing. You don't have to be famous. Your children aren't interested in your fame. They're interested in the stories that you remember from your childhood. When I worked at Region 19, there was a man from the military from Fort Bliss who came to talk to us about the topic, you are what you were when. And he went around the room and asked us to raise our hands if we were teenagers during the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on. And he said the events that occurred in that decade of your teen years are the ones that will shape many of your values. Your family shapes your values. Your spiritual beliefs shape your values. But your experiences as a teenager are also very formative in what you become. And then he asked, he would make statements and he'd say, how many of you agree with this statement? And the people who were raised, let's say, in the 50s would raise their hands because that was so typical of that generation. And then he would go to the 60s, and that would be a whole different set of values. It was so interesting and very persuasive.
If someone is listening right now and they want to start perhaps journaling, writing a memoir, taking one of your classes, but they've never done this before, what would you suggest to them? What would you say to them?
Well, I would do some very basic things. I'd get a fast-writing pen, one that moves, that's comfortable in your hand. They have those fat ones now if you have arthritis or you have a problem with your fingers. We're not used to writing anymore, as you said. And experts have said that the right brain, the creative part of the brain, is connected with handwriting. Computer is more left-brained activity. We know there's a lot of switching back and forth between right and left, and we all have capabilities in both spheres. But writing by hand triggers different memories, different things than writing on your computer does. Now, simply for speed, because my brain gets ahead of my hand when I'm writing by hand, I'll do some things on the computer. But the 10-minute writes in class are really good for that because they generate ideas quickly that you can go home and then expand on your computer. So I'd say a good fast-writing pen. A couple of notebooks. One would be for ideas, and one would be these lined notebooks, just three-ring notebooks. One would be for your actual writing. And when you write, it's a good idea to double or triple space so that you can go back later and fill in as you remember other things that you want to include. Or at the very end, as you edit, it's not a good idea to think about writing perfectly when you begin. You want to get it down. Natalie Goldberg, who I think is the premier memoir teacher, says, shut up and write. Just shut up and write. Get it on paper. And don't listen to that devil on your left shoulder that says, that's not right. You need to correct that. No. Just wait until you've got it all down. In class, I'm not interested at all in how correctly anyone writes. I'm not interested in the rules. I've taught English for years, but...
But you mentioned you have students from all over the world.
I do, and I leave that behind. And I did. I brought a sample of something that a Russian man wrote in his memoir. It's short, and I just wanted to read it because it's very intriguing to me. He says, work 14 hours in every day, and the master's wife had a pleasure to wash, always to wash, in suds and out of, rubbing and scrubbing, even the walls and window and street before the door knew her brush and mop. And for all this, I had the duty in my spare time to carry buckets of water from the well. couple of days in the house, and a person could enjoy to be dirty rest of his life. I have a Korean lady of royal birth in my class, and she writes in a very distinctive way. And she writes with some difficulty because she has palsy in her hand. But she made the effort to write down what she wanted to say, and it sounds just like her. Her children wouldn't recognize her. What she had written if I went in and corrected everything and made it printable. So it's in the book exactly the way she wrote it. And I think that works. If people don't have to worry about their grammar or their spelling when they're writing, it takes a huge burden off of them. It makes it very easy. But I want to mention some other things that people can do. I think if you put down, let's say, in the notebook where you're going to write, on the left column, if you put the five W's and an H, just like a journalist would do, what, when, where, why, who, and how, and you refer back to that as you're writing, you'll remember to include significant things that need to be there in your story. Make an appointment with yourself to write. It's hard when we have a routine and we have lots of things going on in our lives to make ourselves sit down and write. We say, well, I've got to go to the grocery store. I need to clean the house. I've got a golf date with my friend. I'm going out to play golf. Make an appointment. Put it in your book. 30 minutes. If you can do it every day, so much the better. If you can only do it 3 days a week, that's fine. But show up for the appointment. And if you have a conflict at some point, reschedule. Make another time to meet with yourself. Find a comfortable place. Some people write better in Walmart, sitting in the McDonald's in Walmart, because there's a lot of noise and they can focus better. Some people write better with music. Some people need silence. Whatever works for you, whatever is comfortable for you, is what you should do. I like to be comfortable in my house. I like it to be quiet. I don't like interruptions. I turn off the cell phone. I just don't look at the computer. I try to really focus on what I'm doing. Reading other people's memoirs is good. Reading books about writing memoir, if you want to do that. There's tons of them on the internet that you can order. Lots. I have favorites. Other people have different favorites. But they're all helpful in one way or another. Don't forget to describe the scene or the setting. Because if you're going back in time, I came up in the 50s, so if I can describe what was going on, what the house looked like, that's one of the assignments we do in class, is to sketch the house that we grew up in and name the rooms and who slept in which bedroom and where people sat at the dining table. Just doing that sparks memories of what happened at the dinner table, because we did all sit down at the dinner table together at one time. We don't as much anymore. But little things like that can get you started.
Visuals and sometimes, again, memories, as you mentioned, like the Maxwell House commercial. When people hear that, you know, if they watch it, but when they see that, you know, people say, I can smell the coffee in my grandma's house or in my mother's kitchen. And the fact that we have advanced in technology, as you mentioned, would you recommend that perhaps people get a small recorder and have a conversation with their mom, their dad, their uncle, somebody, because as you mentioned, oral history is very important. And then you can get those records and find out, because it's interesting, now they have software where you can go back and trace your family history, but a lot of people don't realize that they are somebody. And as you mentioned, you don't have to be famous, because everybody is special in some way.
Everyone has a story.
And so everybody has a story. So would you recommend that perhaps they do that?
Tape recorders are wonderful, and they also solve a lot of problems, because if you're telling an event that was critical in your life and you remember it in a particular way, and then you print that story and you share it with a sibling, you may find out that your sibling remembers it very differently, and it can be very painful and cause problems sometimes. One of the things that you can do is ask, just say, I remember this event in this way. How do you remember it? And if you include both stories, both points of view as you're writing, then it just makes your story richer. You don't have to write one off. You know, a memoir is really not a place where you get even with people. It's not a place where you whine about your condition, whatever it is. You can write in ways that show, this is what happened. This is what I learned from that. And things turn out much better. Comparing notes with people in your family is helpful. And recording aunts, uncles, grandmothers, if you still are lucky enough to have them, parents, wonderful. And they'll be thrilled to share their stories. My mother and dad loved going back in their minds. My mom told me afterwards, she said, you know, for nights, all of these memories kept coming back. She said, I even had trouble sleeping.
I've noticed that my father has gotten that way. When we go visit, and it's sad to say I don't visit him enough, but when I do start talking with him, he'll bring up a lot of stuff, and it's like he's going back in time and remembering when he was little and all this stuff. And it's very important. And sometimes, as you mentioned, you know, the people who write memoirs, sometimes they don't want to write them because they don't feel they're good enough. And even some of the big leaders like Lincoln and General Grant didn't want to write a memoir. They pushed them. And finally, he wrote one because he was in dire straits financially. And, you know, he got to see it published and he passed away. But he wrote his memoir. And it's wonderful. I would think, as you mentioned, that you gave copies to your siblings, to your family, that people know, wow, this is my family history.
This is where I came from. This is how I came to be. This is how my life has been shaped in large part. I mean, it's wonderful. Sometimes people will say, well, how am I going to put all of this together? And I think as you write, you find themes that emerge. Abigail Thomas is a wonderful writer, period, but a writer about memoir writing. She has a book called Thinking About Memoir. She tells a story just to underscore the family issues. Well, she is in her 60s, and she's with her sister, and they're talking about an event that happened when they were very young. The sister fell out of the car while they were on family vacation. The car was moving, and she split her head open, had to have surgery. And even now, she has headaches, and she has problems from that. And as they were talking about it, she said, for the very first time in their lives, you pushed me. And Abigail Thomas said she did a double take. She had never heard that before. She didn't remember pushing her sister. She didn't think that was true. But this is the kind of thing that emerges, and she didn't know how to deal with it. And so she wrote about it in her memoir just to say, this is an issue. These are things that need to be talked about with family, though, because you can discover things much later that you were unaware of and that might have had an impact on you.
And I would imagine that it has also, as far as value, you get to please different people, because like if your child, your grandchild or niece or nephew asks you, Grandma, Mom, Dad, tell me about when you were little, that means they want to know about you. That makes you feel good because you're going, they want to know about me. And as you mentioned, older people like to tell their war stories, quote.
You bet.
And yeah, so.
You bet. They love to. And, you know, there are children who are really interested and really want to know, and there are children who don't care, who really aren't interested at all. And one of the suggestions that I've read, and I think it's a good one, is that if you're sitting around, let's say you're having a family get together, you're sitting around talking, You can get the children involved by telling them things you remember about their growing up. And then as they hear stories about their lives, they become more interested in yours. So you can involve the whole family.
Now, what about history? Because you mentioned, okay, whatever, what this gentleman mentioned, you are when you were when. If you grew up in the 50s, you grew up in the 40s, you grew up in the 60s, and it's, you know, it's hard to believe that in November it's going to be the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. So people, you know, we forget teaching these young people here that, wait a minute, these people weren't around yet, or they don't remember the landing on the moon and stuff like that. So for them, it's very interesting that what did you see? What did you watch on TV? And for myself, my brother and I, watching the landing on the moon, we stood up and we watched it because we were excited, but we were also disappointed because we thought that a monster, a space monster, was going to come out and attack the astronauts, and that didn't happen.
You must have been young.
We were very young, yes.
That's wonderful. We watched it too. We were traveling in a car. We stopped on the side of the road and just looked up at the moon. We were hearing it on the car radio and listening as they described, and as John, was it John Glenn and some of the others who were.
Oh, you mean the ones on the moon?
Mm-hmm.
It was Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Neil Armstrong.
And Michael Collins, who didn't get the credit because he was flying around the moon.
That's right. That's right. And just imagined what they were experiencing. We could see the different shadows that you see on the moon. It was a full moon, and it was a wonderful experience. And those are the kinds of things that you tell from your point of view. That is not something you want to research, do history. It's not a history lesson. How did you see it? How did you feel about what you saw? When you saw President Kennedy assassinated on television, or what was your reaction? What was the reaction of the people around you? What about the Vietnam War? What about the 60s, all the craziness that went on in the 60s? What was your part in that? What were you doing? Those things just make wonderful stories. All of those historical events in the 20th century is filled with them.
Nancy, hopefully we whet some people's appetite and they're going to go out and purchase some books and some notebooks. But do you have a class coming up soon?
I do, in the summer.
And so they need to call the Ollie office here on campus?
Yes.
To find
out? They can call between 1 and 3 because it's not open full time yet.
And what's the name of the class?
The name of the class is Writing Memoir.
Okay. Again, if you're interested, you can go to utep.edu and then look for the OLLI or the Center for Lifelong Learning and find out. And you can also pick up some schedules sometimes at Barnes & Noble and also here on campus. But your safest bet is to go online and go to utep.edu or call 747-5000 and ask for the OLLI office or the Center for Lifelong Learning. Nancy, thank you very much for being with us here today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been visiting with Nancy Natalicio, and she teaches writing memoirs here on campus. And again, if you are interested, go to the UTEP webpage and find out when the class is scheduled for. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Amanda Eckery. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.